And now it's time for Roger Radio with Copalong John Cassie and Pro Bass Angler Stan Vandenberg. Wendy Tochihara. Hey, if you're a sports enthusiast and you like deep sea fishing, or you love to wade a high Sierras or Alaska stream, or if you just like to take the kids to the local lake and dangle a worm for a trout or a crappie, this is the show for you. We talk about bass tournaments, saltwater tournaments, we have fish reports, and we'll give you information on how to and where to get in some of the best fishing in Southern California, Baja, Mexico, Alaska, really all over. And we're going to talk about some of the fishing trips we have scheduled where you can join us and see why we love what we do. Rod and Radio is brought to you by El Cajon Ford at Broadway, Maine. Online, it's elcajonford.com. Whether it's a new or used car or truck, or you want to take advantage of San Diego's first quick lane for service while you wait, or brand name tires at competitive prices, nobody beats El Cajon Ford. We have some fantastic guests tonight, and on our upcoming shows, we'll talk to some of the top bass pros in Southern California, and we'll have reports from local lakes and the saltwater boats fishing off our coast. It's all right here, right now on Rod and Reel Radio, the best place on radio to get information about fishing opportunities all over the United States.
Hi, this is BSS record holder Dean Rojas. El Cajon Ford helped me when I got started in my career, and let them help you with a new F-Series Ford truck. And remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
And Southern California, that little ditty says it's Sunday night and another edition of Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, I'm your host, Hopalong John Cassidy, and we want to welcome you to Rod and Reel Radio. We got a great show for you tonight. Starting off right a little bit after 5 o'clock here, we're going to have Gary Graham. He is the outdoor editor for Western Outdoor News, Bloody Deck Outdoors, Pacific Coast Sports Fishing, and especially is reporting on all things happening in Baja California. Then coming up 6 o'clock, the long-range fishing season is starting, and we're going to have Paul Strasser, owner of Independent Sports Fishing. He's going to be on with us. We're going to talk about long-range fishing, and after Paul, we're going to talk about the rods that you need to go on your next long-range trip. So with us is going to be Eric Mulhart. He is owner of Seeker Fishing Rod. So we got a full show for you tonight. Before we get on to Gary Graham, let me introduce to you the co-host of Rod and Reel Radio. First of all, he is the voice of 1-800-BASS-BOAT and a pretty good fisherman in his own right, Mr. Stan Vandenberg. Stan, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing well, my friend. Just getting kind of ready to go here, and I got only 10 days left, man. I'm on the countdown for the long-range trip here, so I'm really getting excited.
Boy, I wouldn't blame you. The reports that have come on back, they're starting to get into those big fish, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on when we have Paul Strasser on with us. But let me introduce our listening audience to the other co-host of Rod and Reel Radio. She is the sales manager for Iserline, and I don't know, she is a glutton for punishment. She just spent 2 days at Bass Pro Shop representing Iserline. She's fresh back from a hunt that she made last week. She is all-encompassing when it comes to the sports field. Miss Wendy Tochihara. Wendy, how you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great. I was MIA for about 15 days up in a mountain with no signal.
Well, isn't that great?
It was awesome.
Well, Wendy, we missed you, but we're gonna put you to work tonight, and it sounds like Iserline put you to work there at the Bass Pro Shop, and we'll hopefully get a chance to talk about that a little bit more. But I want to get right to our guest, because again, he's always packed filled of information. We're going to try to be putting 20 pounds of mud into a 5-pound sack. Let me introduce our listening audience to Gary Graham. Gary, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio.
Glad to be here. Hey, Wendy, how was Cucamonga?
Oh, it was awesome. We had a great time, and a couple of our guests that are going to be on the radio show were over here with me.
All right. That sounds good. I hope they can hear what's happening, and if not, we'll give them full details later on. But, hey, Gary, you know, you're one of our experts when it comes to what's happening down Baja, some big events happening down there. Obviously, you know, after Hurricane, I think it was Olden or Oldie came through, wreaked havoc on the tip of Baja, but one of the big events seems like it came off without a hitch. That's the Bisbee tournament, one of the biggest fishing tournaments, you know, maybe in this hemisphere. And then we have the Western Outdoor News Los Cabos Tuna Jackpot coming on up. But hey, can you give us a report, first of all, starting on the Bisbee?
sure. The 34th annual Bisbee was held less than a month after Hurricane Odile. And it was, nobody really thought that was going to happen. There were three major tournaments in that were held in October, including Los Cabos Billfish and Los Cabos Offshore. And then the big guy, or the big boy, which is the Black and Blue tournament. They had, Black and Blue had 127 teams. Of that 137 teams, 47 of those teams were in a program they had where they had an anonymous benefactor that provided the entry fees for people that were willing to fish on local boats. The point being they were trying to get more local charters involved. It was called a charter hookup program, and they ended up with 47 people that signed up, and they drew boats the day before the day of registration, and they all got out there and fished. And that in itself was a pretty interesting story. But let me tell you, this tournament always manages to produce more turns and twists than you can imagine. It's every I go every year, and every year it's a little bit different. And this year was no different. The first day, the largest fish that came in was a 394-pound blue. It was landed by a guy named Dan Tozak, and he came from Canada. And signed up. He came down never dreaming. He came down to watch the tournament. He wasn't going to fish it, couldn't afford it. Signed up and won a place and fished it and caught a 394-pound fish. Brought it in that evening on the first night, and sure enough, it was put down as listed as the winner. However, after they reviewed the rules and talked it over with him, he was an amateur. It was the first time he'd ever done it. And the fish had died, and they had hand-lined it in. So he voluntarily withdrew that fish, putting another fish aboard the, that was a 304-pound fish on the Tepe, and it was Team Tepiacos that... That put them in the first place when the other fish was withdrawn. The second day, there were several fish that came in, and really the most important, and the fish that was the largest fish of that day was a 385-pound blue, and it was caught by the Casa Jugar team. The Casa Jugar is an orphanage that has operated for a number of years in Cabo. The cool thing about it was that the team had volunteered on their own that whatever they might win would go to the orphanage. So, of course, there was a lot of excitement, not only at the scale, but throughout the community, because the community could just imagine the windfall if they happened to win the tournament. So on the third day, the only thing was they were not across the board. So on the third day, there was several boats, the winning boat in the tournament, as far as money was concerned, came in with Sporty Game, and it had a fish that was about 340, and that fish was 37 pounds lighter than the 385. That fish won $1,682,612, and the winning fish on Casa Jugar won $258,325. Pretty good money for a three-day deal.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Now, again, the technicality, why did the lighter fish actually win the larger purse, Gary?
That's because the tournament's all about jackpots. It's like somebody described it to me one time. It's like how many quarters you want to put in a jackpot or in a slot machine. The more you put in, the more you have a possibility of winning. It's the same thing. There are different jackpots for 500, 1,000, and so on and so forth. Actually, if you enter the Bisbee across the board, it's $72,000.
Wow. You know, this tournament is important not only for the individuals that are fishing it, but it also is an extremely important tournament, not only for the businesses and all that in Cabo, but it also benefits the charities, and it's really been responsible for helping the East Cape get back on its feet after this last hurricane.
It's been responsible for helping Los Cabos. East Cape did not get the most of the damage was San Jose, Del Cabo, and Cabo San Lucas. East Cape had some damage, but certainly nothing comparable to what happened down in Cabo proper. There were literally thousands of people. They had, I understand, they had over 4,000 federal electric employees that were there. And are still there, by the way. And they had other people. They had the Waves for Water that came down, a group from there, to provide filtration set up so they could pick it out in the backcountry for people that didn't have potable water. There was over $250,000 that the Bisbee family put into a Los Cabos recovery fund as seed money. I have no idea what that grew to or has grown to, but that money has been distributed for building of homes. I was at one place when I was there last week where they literally are building one house a day. They're small, they're, you know, a very small house, but that for people that were wiped out. So there's a lot going on in Cabo. It's not done, but Cabo is certainly ready for the fishermen and are certainly looking forward to next week's event, the Los Cabos Tuna Jackpot that Western Outdoor News puts on. They've already, I understand they have 105 teams that have already signed up.
Nice.
There's a little thing called Vance that's south of Cabo right now, a hurricane that's working its way up the line that may or may not have some impact on it. It looks like it's iffy at this time. It keeps changing day, literally hour by hour, which direction and wind speed. So it remains to be seen, but there definitely will be some rough seas, I suppose. But other than that, yes, to answer your question, the economy is really helped by the Bisbee event because of the people coming down. That's what why it was so important that the town get put back together quickly. And everybody in the marina, IGY, got the entire marina ready, and so it was operating. So boats coming in would have a place to stay. They were able to get fuel, and of course facilities to the markets and so on have reopened. Anyway, it's come a long way, much further than anybody could have anticipated. And the fact that that $285,000, that was, you know, that's as close to a miracle as I'm going to see for a while, I think. But that was so remarkable that they donated that money, and for a group, such a needy group, that it really will help them. That's literally, I'm sure that's at least a very large portion of their operating budget for a year.
Wow. Now, you know, you said that also you had some conversations with Pat McDowell, and he's got the Western Outdoor News Los Cabos Tuna Jackpot coming up, and Vance is possibly bearing down on Cabo San Lucas. Have you had any conversations with Pat with regards to what's going to happen if this happens in different scenarios?
Well, the tournament will not be canceled, I will tell you that. He has been adamant from the very beginning that he would not cancel it because of the importance in the community. However, I would also point out, as he would too, that his authority only goes to the jetty. So if the port captain closes the port, then the tournament will not happen. But if that happens, then according to the rules, the money will be refunded and all of the participants. So basically, I believe that they charge there's a service charge, but they refund the bulk of the money for all of the entries. So if it comes to that, that's what will happen. I'm hoping, and certainly it would be hard for me to predict whether that's going to be the case. Prior to the last week and the week before, there were some nice tuna being caught at Gordo Bank. In fact, they were just starting to light up a little bit, and a handful of fish up to 300 and a couple over 3. There's been some brought into both Cabo and into Puerto Los Cabos.
Yeah, Gary, I'd heard that also from friends down there. I got a buddy that's going to be fishing the tuna tournament. He's flying down there to do a little pre-fishing, and hopefully Vance doesn't come all the way up. They had it originally as turning inland and going some maybe ashore at Acapulco. But now, you know, every other day here it's changing and maybe swinging out and then coming back in a little further north.
This morning it was showing that it bent completely west, or they expected it to go west and then come up the outside edge of Cabo on the western side. However, it then switched back, and it's now basically, it looks like it's headed toward PV and Mazatlan, and the outer bands will come across, will cross the tip, but they're not as high as they were, or not predicted to be as high as they were yesterday. But again, you know, it's hard to guess, hard to put that any handle on that. I'm flying down tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
What date is it supposed to make its way past Cabo or
Wednesday, Thursday? Wednesday is registration. So if it comes by on Wednesday and then Thursday morning. I believe the last one I saw was that it would be there sometime Wednesday, or come by. It's not going to be there, but if that happens, then registration will take place as normal, and the fishing will begin on the second day, assuming that it's not rough or the port captain doesn't close the port.
Well, Gary, you happen to mention that things are going gangbusters at the East Cape, and I've seen the reports from Rancho Buena Vista and Rancho Leonero, and that seems to be the case. You know, La Paz was hit pretty hard. What do you hear is happening, and how is La Paz recovering?
According to Jonathan Rodon, it's recovered pretty well. Actually, somebody else just sent me an email as well and was talking about it, but La Paz is equal to Cabo. They come back and they're fully operational. I mean, there's some things that, as an example, some of the big box stores have not reopened yet. I know Cabo, Costco just opened in Cabo and it's not fully stocked, but it's operational. And I saw some notes or comments from people saying that they were able to buy everything that they had on their list, so it obviously is. It's got the, as far as food items and so on. And up in La Paz, a lot of the damage I saw there when I flew in. I flew in on the 3rd, I think it was, of October. And I flew into La Paz, but most of the damage there that I saw, there was a lot of service stations that were damaged, and a lot of newer buildings where there's not much building code there, and a lot of the skins on some of the buildings have come off, were blown off by O'Deal.
All right. Hey, Gary, you are the man when it comes to information, when it comes to Cabo. If people want to get a hold of you, ask you a question, or read the latest that you have on out, or even get some information on maybe going along with you on Baja on the Fly and taking advantage of your expertise when it comes to a guide, how's the best way to do it?
The best way to find us is our 800 number, 1-800-919-2252.
All right. Gary Graham, I want to thank you. You know, you were worried about your voice conking on out, but you did a great job for us tonight, and we look forward to hearing from you again, and hey, maybe even the results of the upcoming Western Outdoor News Los Cabos Tuna Jackpot. Thanks for spending some time with us, Gary.
Thank you. Glad to be here, and nice talking to all three of you. Talk to you later.
All right.
See you later, Gary.
Hey, that's Gary Graham with Baja on the Fly is the name of his charter group. And I've got to tell you, he's down at the East Cape. He's the guy to go with if you're looking for fly fishing down in southern Baja. Hey, listen, Stan, Wendy, and I, we got to take a break right now. But coming up next, it's What the Heck is Phil Thinking with the host of Phil Freeman Outdoors. So you guys stay tuned. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back after these commercial messages.
You can count on El Cajon Ford, as so many Southern Californians have for years. El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like the all-new Fusion and Escape, Edge, Explorers, and more. And now, Fiestas with 38 mpg and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows Joe's Trucks. No matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock. 150s, 250s, 350s at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks too, including the all-new Transit Connect. Finally, a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford. Worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main in El Cajon, or online anytime, anywhere at elcajonford.com.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel, specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
H&M Landing is the most diversified sport fishing company on the West Coast. Serving the angling community since 1935, H&M Landing's name recognition and reputation for customer service is the best in the business. The H&M fleet provides the widest range of trip options and boasts the coast's largest open party fleet. For ocean fishing any time of the year, H&M Landing should be your choice for nearshore and offshore fishing. H&M is San Diego's most experienced sport fishing company, offering the best in half-day, three-quarter-day, full, and multi-day trips, and a complete schedule of long-range adventures. Call today, H&M Landing, 619-222-1144, or visit their website at www.hmlanding.com for updated schedules and secure online booking. H&M Landing, the experienced angler's first choice in local and multi-day fishing since 1935. That's H&M Landing at 619-222-1144 or hmlanding.com.
I am an angler, a heroic defender of the noble sport of fishing. When I go out with my crew, we're prepared for everything, from itty-bitty mosquitoes to the biggest bass you've ever seen. Not to mention, we all wear life jackets. And with this year's drought conditions, we're also defending every last drop of water, saving lives and saving water, because the best defense is a good offense. Just don't tell the fish that.
Take your hero quiz at BoatCalifornia.com. A message from the California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
This segment of Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by the makers of the original balloon fishing clip system, Balloon Fisher King. Now you can fish the precise bait depth desired with these easy-to-use clips and 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons. All you do is clip, inflate, bait, and fish. Look for Balloon Fisher King clips and balloons at your local tackle dealers or go to balloonfisherking.com for further information.
It's a big deal. You know, I've always wanted to be on Rod and Reel Radio. I won the Bassmaster Classic. I did a McDonald's commercial, but now I know I've made it.
I fulfilled my dream. That is just absolutely awesome.
Hey, good evening again, Southern California. Stan, Wendy, and I want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. And now it's time for a regular feature here on Rod and Reel Radio. What the heck is Phil thinking? And bringing you this segment is the voice himself, live from the Bass Pro Shop in Rancho Cucamonga. And Phil, you don't have Wendy tickling you over there. Mr. Phil Friedman. Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing good, John. Wendy was tickling me, but she left. And she's somewhere else right now. But it was lovely to see her here. And it's been a great weekend here at Bass Pro Shop in Rancho Cucamonga. We've had nothing but a great time. I just ducked out of our Spanish seminar, which is full. Joaquin Espinosa, my co-host from Aventura Quality Libre, is continuing on with it. And then we're going to have a mega raffle here in about 5-10 minutes. So great times out here, no question about it, John.
Oh, you know, Phil, you know, probably when you were scheduling this thing, you were going, oh, man, we're going to run a saltwater seminar the first week in November. You know, how germane is it going to be to anything that's happening? But, man, as it looks like it, you were a great predictor of what has been an extended season. So how's it going?
Well, you're right. You know, but we actually started talking about this a few months ago with Bob Miner, the general manager here, and he asked me if I thought there'd still be some fish fighting with the warm water and everything, and I said, yeah, heck yeah, I think there will be, and I firmly believe that it's going to go on until the first of the year. I think that this is just going to keep going and going and going, and as long as we have warm water, it should keep rocking and rolling. And so, yeah, we have plenty to talk about, huge crowds, great people, and very impressed with how many of our Latino brothers and sisters are showing up here that want to hear this in Spanish. We had huge crowd for the English, but also very big for the Spanish, and it's great to see all the people come out here and do that, John.
Well, you know, first of all, we need to thank Bass Pro Shop, and especially Bob Miner for, you know, allowing you the opportunity to run the seminar in Spanish and use the facilities of the shop there. And, you know, it, you know, every fisherman is important to us, and especially to a business like Bass Pro Shop. So it's maybe a little bit of a chance on taking a chance on their part, but my gosh, it sounds like you've got it paying off for them, Phil.
Oh, it's really working out. Well, you know, you look at today, John, I'm keeping my finger on the pulse of things. The Patriot down there out of Newport, great yellowtail fishing today. The Victory today out of Pierpoint Landing in Long Beach, very good yellowtail fishing. When I say I've got my finger on the pulse, Scott Buchert is here next to me, and he does a lot of great work in terms of handing me notes when I need to have one. But just phenomenal yellowtail fishing. So anybody who thinks that maybe that front that was going to go through was going to spoil this thing, no way. I mean, it's already on the bite. And now we head into this 80-degree weather over the course of the next few days. And I'll tell you, man, it's the endless summer, John. It's just never going to stop. And it has been absolutely incredible. And it sounds like it's going to continue.
You know, Phil, the guys that were talking in one of the shops, they go, we're waiting to catch the first wahoo in Ventura County. So we're just still working on it.
Exactly. I mean, I don't see an end to it. I mean, you look at Catalina Island, it's corroded with mostly small yellowtail, but I think that's going to hang in there for a while. And then they're going to grow up next spring. Those fish will be bigger, and by the summer, they'll be bigger. I don't think they're going anywhere. And Clemente, same kind of a situation there. And then along the coast, the Channel Islands getting on the bite with those big yellows. And then they show up on the Horseshoe Kelper out near the oil rigs or down there around Box Canyon. I mean, it's just phenomenal, and I don't think it's going to slow down. They have a saying in the business when fishing's really, really good that you'll run out of people before you run out of fish, and I probably think that's going to be the case this year.
Well, I don't know. It sure seems like the season's going to be extended. And Stan talked a little bit about fishing along the Channel Islands. I mean, those people aren't being left out either, are they?
That bite is still very strong up there. Guys like Sean Stewart on the Aloha Spirit are fishy guys, and they know how to fish that stuff. John Poop on the CJ, the rest of the boys up there, really, really good fishermen. And there's plenty of yellows up there, and they're big, and they're tough. And as Sean Stewart says, they have attitude. They're nasty, and they pull hard, and you better have them on some heavy line, like 40-pound at least. And, man, they're a lot of fun, and that bite is continuing also up there. And there's some squid, market squid, starting to be made up in that neck of the woods. So that could transition into a whole new ball game if you get a bunch of squid starting to move in there with all that yellowtail around and some halibut starting to show up there, and maybe even a sea bass, fall sea bass bite. Hard to tell at this point.
Well, they had some big squid floats in the last week around the islands there and even off Catalina. So it started. It's already going.
Yeah, and there were some white sea bass that were caught this week, so along those with those squids. So we're going to see all kinds of fish again.
Boy, what a recruitment of home guard fish we're going to have for Catalina this year, because I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of fish that have come to visit but are going to probably decide to stay over the season.
Why not? Conditions are pretty nice. There's plenty of food around. People are treating them halfway decent. You know, I mean, it's a nice place to visit Southern California.
Well, I think with the food source, you know, the fish follow food. And if there's a food source around and it stays, they'll stay and just grow. And that's nothing but good.
Right.
Oh, darn.
Hey, Wendy and Phil, you've been involved in Bass Pro Shop here for their saltwater seminars and exhibit for the past 2 days. What are the typical type of questions that you're fielding from people attending there that they want to know about saltwater fishing here in Southern California?
Well, one of the most typical ones I get it several times a day, is how in the heck did a guy like you become somebody in this industry? My God, are they scraping the bottom of the barrel? Hey, I get that continually. I'm not sure why, John.
It's longevity, you know. You've outlasted the competition, Phil. That's all it is, you know? And not only that, rumor has it you do a pretty good job, too, when it comes to reporting. So we'll leave it at that.
I don't know if Wendy will agree with me, but you just get a genuine thirst and for knowledge about a variety of different subjects. But we've got I'm looking here in our crowd right now, at our Spanish audience, and there is a woman who's got to be 7 months pregnant with four little kids and her husband. And they're soaking it up, and they're loving it. And boy, those are the families and the people that we need to get into the sport. And, you know, I'm talking kids that are, you know, it looks like 5, 7, 9, 11, like that. I mean, kids that, if we get them hooked on fishing, they're going to not only reap the benefits from it, but they'll keep this great sport going.
Well, not only that, Phil, you know, right now we're right in the middle of football season, and it's just as easy to sit home in the armchair and look at your favorite team play, and unless it happens to be Chargers, and then they're out to Rancho Cucamonga at no time at all. But you've got the folks coming on out there and wanting to soak up everything they can on the saltwater scene here in Southern California. When it comes to the Latino crowd, tell us about some of their concerns and some of their questions when it comes to fishing saltwater.
Pretty much just a genuine love of the sea. I think that is a part of the Latino heritage, and they just want to learn more about how to do it, where to do it. They're not really up on our fishing boats that much, like going on the fishing boats. A lot are not. Some are. But they just want to learn more about where can I go fishing? How can I do this? You mean I can rent rods? Do I need a license? They want to know all of those types of questions. But just a genuine thirst. And, of course, you know, surf fishing is very popular. I love it. And a lot of our Latino hermanos y hermanas love to surf fish. So there's a lot of that type of stuff, too. You know, like, hey, can we actually catch a halibut, a lenguado from the surf? Can we catch some other fish in the surf? And so it's just really just they want knowledge about how to do it and how they can get their families out. It's always a lot about the family in the Latino community, as you know. That's the center of their universe, and they want to involve their kids and everybody else in that.
Well, you know, Phil, let's talk a little bit about the Bass Pro Shop. Bass Pro Shop, a lot of people hear the name, they think about freshwater fishing, whether it's bass, trout, whatever it might be. And especially you're out there in Rancho Cucamonga, and some people might go, well, what kind of a selection of saltwater gear would they have out there in Rancho Cucamonga that I should go out there and take a look at? So tell us.
Well, Wendy will tell you, they've got it all here, from, you know, fishing the surf to big game. They have got all the name brand reels. They've got, you know, all the hooks and lures and everything, marlin lures, all of that stuff you'll need. And to make another point, my wife would rather, you know, walk off a short pier than go fishing. She's not into it that much. I remember I took her, I said, come on, let's go. I'll take you out and we'll catch a big Dorado. They're like 2 seconds off the beach here. We went out, she caught this 40-pound Dorado. It jumped. And, I mean, it was so exciting and everything. It got on the boat and she said, can I go in now? So the point is, she loves coming to Bass Pro Shop. She absolutely loves everything about this place, because there's clothing and there's food and there's barbecues and there's hunting stuff, and there's something for everybody here at Bass Pro Shops. And they have such, the employees here are so nice and so courteous, and there's just something for everybody here. I think Wendy will agree with that.
Yeah, you know, they are. They're great people. They run a great store, but they also support our local manufacturers, which is great, and they specifically tailor for our type of fishing. Which is wonderful to have a big corporation like that be able to tailor to what we need here in Southern California.
Well, they've done a good job of just targeting our market out here. You know, they can't come from, you know, Georgia or back east and then bring all that stuff out here. That wouldn't work. It wouldn't work for them either. And they've done a good job of hiring the right people to put in the products that we use here and make it available at reasonable pricing for everybody. And that's really Bass Pro Shop's claim to fame. They're an outdoor store, and they really provide us with everything that we need for what we need in the West Coast here, too. I mean, they've done just a superior job.
Well, they seem,
you know, it's funny because I go there, and I'm supposed to be peddling my line and stuff, but, you know, I kind of end up buying more than I sell.
It's that candy store arena. You know, you go over there and I need some of this, I need one of these, I need a couple of these. You can't go in there without finding something you could use. So, you know.
They have everything. Yeah. It's great.
Well, it sounds like they've got Wendy and Phil there right now. Phil, I know you got a lot of balls that you're juggling right now. We should let you get back to the seminar because I know you're an integral part of it. But if people want to listen to your Spanish programming, how do they go about that? And how do we go and get some of the great reports we get from Phil Friedman Outdoors? Because I got to tell you, you know, you've got a number of reports every day that I find fascinating and informative.
John, you're very kind. Thank you so much. Best way to do it is go to www.pforadio.com or our Spanish website is www.aventurasalarelibre.com, and that's absolutely the best way. You can also catch us on Facebook at PFO or Phil Friedman, and those are the best ways to get in touch with us.
All right, Phil. Hey, why don't you let us let you get back to the seminar? You know, Herculean effort to get with us to be on the show. Thank you so much, and say hello to your great audience over there for us, and we look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Lots of Rod and Reel Radio fans here, John. Thanks for having me on, as always.
All right. Phil Friedman, the voice from Phil Friedman Outdoors. And Wendy, you were over there at Bass Pro Shop, too, manning the Iserline booth. And, you know, what were the typical questions that you were getting there at the booth?
You know, it was really neat to see. I had a lot of kids come up to me and ask me how to tie a knot. And a lot of adults were asking me about the different types of line and asking how to actually do connections.
Right.
So I was able to teach a lot of people how to, tie their line to their hooks and to do all the different connections.
All right. What's that, Stan, real quick?
So that's just good stuff.
Oh, you better believe it. I tell you now, with the advent of the braid, connections are so important, whether you're just putting on a small little leader for a kelp cutter line or you're putting on a top shop for some of those 300-pound fish that we're going to be talking about later on if you're going to be fishing on the Independence and going out on a long-range trip. Hey, Wendy, thanks a lot. I hope you can stay with us. This is Rod and Reel Radio. Stan Vandenberg's with us tonight. Coming up next, California Inshore Report and the Hawaiian Island Fishing Report. Stay tuned. There's still a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy line, Spro products, Gamakatsu hooks, G. Loomis fishing rods, Shimano products, Ovid reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
It's tuna time, and it's time to reserve your spot on one of the newest boats in the fleet. The 70-foot Sea Adventure 2 is the open party boat at H&M Landing in San Diego and has a roomy, comfortable galley that seats up to 24 passengers with all the comforts of home, including two big satellite flat-screen TVs, soda fountain, ice maker, and satellite phone. The huge new bait tank and slammer ensure plenty of bait for everyone, and 2 4-ton refrigerated fish holds, both RSW and blast free, have plenty of room to keep your catch as fresh as the minute you caught it. Reserve your spot on the Sea Adventure 2 online at hmlanding.com or call H&M Landing at 619-222-1144.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gumkatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gumkatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gumkatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gumkatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
This portion of Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by the Rockley's Fish Release System. Now you can quickly and easily release fish suffering from barotrauma back to the depths they were caught. Look or ask for the Rockley's at your local fishing tackle dealer.
And welcome to you on this Sunday night, the first weekend of November. Hey, Stan Vandenberg's with us tonight, Wendy Toshihara, and it's now time for the Hawaiian Island Fishing Report. And the Hawaiian Island Fishing Report is brought to you by Diamond Head Tuna and Champ Sports Fishing. So without further ado, let's welcome to Ron Real Radio, Captain Mick Diamond. Mick, how you doing tonight, sir?
Aloha, aloha. I just landed in Kona a few hours ago. We got a big week. We're going to look for a place to smoke our marlin and dry our cool over here. So I'm standing at the old Yama Specialty Tackle Shop.
Okay.
It was a real popular place on Alihi Drive in Lunapuli. And unfortunately, they're out of business. But I'm looking at commercial property, maybe bring it back to life. So it's exciting. Anybody been to this old tackle shop, Yama's Fishing?
Man, that is good.
Pretty
news,
cool.
And I'm really cool that you're bringing some of that industry back there to the islands. Now, you've got an announcement that with Diamond Head Tuna on some fun things that you're doing.
Yeah, we had a big week. After 14 years, it's time to upgrade our product, and we're gonna can our albacore and smoke the albacore on a private label called Diamond Head Tuna. So, we've got 5 tons of fish ready to go, and you guys will be getting some samples. It's going to take about 3 weeks to get it canned and labeled, and next month, end of the year, big Christmas gifting, healthy gifting.
Right. Before we get on to Diamond Head Tuna, though, and Champ Sports Fishing, how's the fishing there? Hey, and I want to tell you, Mick, can you believe this crazy season that we're having here on the West Coast, that there is still...
Yeah, I love it.
I don't know if you heard Gary Graham's report, but there is another hurricane still bearing down on Cabo San Lucas. Can you believe that?
Nice. Well, we're probably... My boy moved here a year ago. He goes, Dad, I've been through 3 hurricanes in a year. And I go, well, welcome home. getting some fishing. Tonight's a big night. My mentor, Jack Montgomery, he owned the Miss L in 1977. I was his last deckhand on the Miss L. And he sold the boat and relocated to Homer, Alaska, and been up there 35 years, and has a great big fleet of 3 boats and fishing for halibut and salmon. So Jack brought me over some salmon I'm going to smoke and some halibut, and we're going to go to dinner tonight and catch up. And he's on his way to New Zealand. He caught a 106-pound yellowtail in 1977 down there with Pete Zimmerman. And now he lives 6 months here in Ojope Beach in the Bay of Plenty. I love that name. And then 6 months he runs his business in Homer, Alaska. So a little plug for Jack. If you ever want some good halibut or salmon fishing, he's your man. And then on to the fish report. We still got a pretty steady pick on the Mai Mai and the Shivi showed up in Oahu. So for the week, we had 166 Shivi, and that's a good sign. We'll start getting a small yellowfin tuna this time of year. And then the Mai Mai was 106 for the week. So on that, and then still a few marlin. We got a dozen blue marlin. Speaking of marlin, we're chartering Captain Lance Gelman, me and Jack Montgomery on Tuesday, and we're going to go fish, and Lance says it's the full moon, and there's some big ones around, so I'm looking forward to that.
Right. Well,
and also on Kona, I heard from Captain Craig on the Seahawk, and he had steady fishing, couple pastures, 14 yellowfin tuna between 20 and 30 pounds on the little half-day boat.
Wow, that's great. Now, you've expanded the size of the fleet that you're representing, Captain Mick, and, you know, you are now servicing different areas of the island. Just tell us quickly about that.
Yeah, well, you can fish at Haleiwa Harbor, North Shore, Honolulu. Got a couple boats in Haleiwa, one in Honolulu. And then it's exciting, Captain Lance Gelman on the Medusa and Captain Craig Hawkins on the Seahawk. And Craig's trip's kind of cool. It's only $345, and you can do a little eco-touring, see some spinner dolphin, and then go to the drop-off, and he chunk fishes for yellowfin. That's a pretty cool little trip for your family or such.
Not only that, considering where you are and where you're going, an extremely reasonable rate, if say so myself. Captain Mick, if people want to know more about Diamond Head Tuna, Champ Sports Fishing, how to get a hold of you to find out more about the fishing opportunities you offer there at the island, how's the best way to do it?
Yeah, okay. And remember, you're long-range fishing with us. You're 2,511 miles offshore, plus you only got to drive 2 miles to the spot, so skip the boat ride. Best way is www.diamondheadtuna.com or on regular 760-500-7094.
All right. Captain Mick, always exciting hearing from you and what you're doing with Diamond Head Tuna and Champ Sports Fishing. And I want to remind our audience that with daylight savings time gone now, Captain Mick is 4 hours behind us. So
no, two now.
Oh, we're two. Okay.
Go on.
Wow. I'm just saying.
The other way. Three and two.
Don't be
you ever
calling.
Been to Hawaii? You ever been
yeah.
here?
Yeah. Just don't be calling Mick at 6 o'clock in the morning Pacific time.
Yeah, give me a couple hours. All right, guys. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Captain Mick. Thanks a lot for the report. Hey, Captain Mick's report is brought to you by DiamondHeadTuna.com and Champ Sports Fishing. Hey, we're going to switch on over to the California Inshore Report. What's happening off our local shoreline is brought to you by the Fish Icon, and without further ado, here's Captain James Nelson giving us a lowdown on what's happening in our local waters. Captain James, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great, John. Just basically just got off the water myself not long ago, and I got home, and before I could put the boat away, all the sunlight disappeared. What's up with that?
I don't know.
What happened?
It's crazy. Hey, but you know, that is interesting. You were out today. You were probably out yesterday. There was a little bit of weather that came through here. How did that affect the fishing, Jim?
Well, you know, whenever it rains, the fish dive deeper. They don't like to get wet. So,
cute.
Just for you, Stan.
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't, Jim. I always learned something from you.
Yeah, you know, it was good. I mean, it depends on what you're doing. I mean, it really didn't hurt the bonefish at all. Didn't hurt the bass once we figured out that they didn't want to hit the fast stuff that was up. Even though there was bait all around, they really wanted to eat off the bottom. So, you know, it sounds like I'm just goofing off and making a joke, but for some reason they really followed that. And they ate off the bottom or near the bottom more than anything. A little slow, but once we figured it out, that was the way to catch them, and boom.
You know, Captain Jim, this time of the year, do you find that they still eat the artificials as well as they did during the summer months, or do you start changing over and maybe trying more like live bait or chunks of meat or whatever it is? Do you change your bait pattern at all this time of the year?
Not really, John. You know, again, it really depends on the day. It's not so much the time of year as anything. Pretty much in the bay, these fish eat what crawl, swims, or once did, and so it's just figuring out what they want at that time. And today it seemed to be that they wanted to be on the bottom, eating more of the shrimp and crab type stuff, with a few exceptions. I mean, they get some halibut on crankbait and a few bass on jerkbait, but pretty much everything was near the bottom.
Yeah. Now, I know fishing Mission Bay can be fantastic when you align it with the grunion runs, and are there any more grunion runs that you're aware of that are scheduled for the next coming months that maybe those people that want to use crankbaits or jerkbaits for some of those fish that come up on the grunion will want to take advantage of?
Well, we're not seeing so much shark, John. Excuse me, I just saw a shark picture and boom in my head. We are seeing shark. We're not seeing so much grunting as we are smelt and some mullet, but we're seeing more of that. And typically, this is the time of year where we start seeing the little pinhead anchovies throughout the bay. And I don't know if we saw that on the graph or not, but there were a lot of bait balls down a little deeper today. So something is in the water. I don't think it's grunting, and you know, I haven't seen too much. I did see some in the kelp a few days ago. We had Jamie Cyphers out there from Bass TV, and we saw a bunch of grunting out there, out in the kelp. So I wouldn't doubt it if they're working their way to the beach, or they may be working their way back out, because we did just have a really big moon recently.
Wow. And, you know, I know you were in tremendous mackerel for a long time. Are the macs still biting over there? Because I know the kids like fishing those mackerel.
Yes, John. And I've got a freezer just full of them, ready for shark season and for whomever wants to go out and get a bug or two. I mean, we can fill our lobster trap cages pretty well with them. I mean, it's just the mackerel are just in the millions.
Right.
Good for the yellowtail. You know, they're getting fat on those things, too. And now we got the squid popping around here up north. And, you know, things are just clicking along here. It's amazing. This has been a bonus year for the fishing world.
It is. You know, we didn't try for them today, but I talked to some guys today who went out after yellowtail and got them. And it's just, you know, it's November. And it's rainy. And guys are still catching yellowtail. It's just, what can you say? It's just phenomenal.
Now, Captain Jim, we made reference to the fact that for some reason it's getting darker out there right now. I don't know, but, you know, I know you specialize, too, in half-day trips. And so with this kind of adjustment in daylight hours, you know, what are you going to consider a half-day trip, you know, for the morning and a half-day trip in the afternoon?
Well, I don't do half days in the afternoon, John. That actually stops pretty much first of October. So it's all just half day is a half day. So whether we get started at first light, which is now going to be 6-ish, or we get started first light at 8 o'clock, it's a 6-hour trip or a half day. And, of course, I prefer to get started early, come home early. But, you know, I adjust to my customers. I understand, especially now, it's that time of year. We get a lot of conventioners, and they're working around the schedule when they're actually supposed to be somewhere. So I want to make sure that
whether
you don't
they
get
are
them into
not
trouble while they're fishing.
Yeah, they've got to go out and attend that rules meeting, and it'll probably take them 4 or 5 hours to get everything straightened out. But, you know,
yeah, exactly.
you're a great guy to call for that, and or if, you know, I can't tell you, Jim, how many times I get families that come in here and mom and dad are just in a quandary. They want to take their kids fishing. They're thinking about, God, should I go trout fishing or what should I do? What should I do when it comes to, you know, my gear and my hookup and lures and everything like that? And we send a lot of people out to give you a call and say, hey, you want to give Captain Jim a call because he's really turnkey. And tell me, you know, how do you handle someone that goes out that has absolutely zero knowledge about what they're doing?
Well, you know, that's kind of funny because that topic came up today. I had a couple guys who know, you know, all the ins and outs, and I was explaining to them how, you know, when it comes to a lot of my customers don't know a thing about the area. Some of them don't cast or haven't cast a rod in a long time. So I get you all set up. All you got to do is step on. By the end of the day, hopefully you'll have a little bit more knowledge than you did when you came out. You can step off and say you had a good time. And whether it be drift fishing, casting, fishing bait, fishing lures, whatever, we're going to do what is going to work not only best for the fish, but best for you, the customer.
All right.
The Fish Icon is the best place to hold a sales meeting. It's got a great platform. And you can go ahead and meet and talk strategy.
Well, you know, that's not that far from a truth. I'm sure there's been a lot of business agreements that have been consummated aboard the deck of a boat. So it works for sure. Hey, Captain James, if people want to get a hold of you, inquire about what kind of trips you're offering, how the schedule is looking, how's the best way to do it?
Well, if you like using the interweb, you can contact me at
thefishicon.com or good old-fashioned phone call method, 619-395-0799.
All right. Captain James, we wish you a great week out there. We look forward to speaking to you next week. We want to thank you for taking some of your Sunday evening off to be with us on Rod and Reel Radio.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure, guys. And I can't wait to tell you all about next week.
All right. Thank you, Captain James, the fish icon. Hey, well, that's it for the first hour, but stay tuned. You want to talk about long-range fishing? We're going to have a lot of information from you. Paul Strasser from the Independent Sports Fishing is going to be with us. He's going to talk about long-range fishing. I know Stan and Wendy, they're going to also pipe in, too, when it comes to a type of equipment, type of line to use. And then after Paul, we're going to have the owners and operator of Seeker Rods, Fishing Rods, Eric Mulhart. He's going to be with us. He's going to come up with a recommendation on some of the rods to use when you're contemplating going out on these long-range trips, the selection that Seeker has for you. But we got to take a break right now. Stan, Wendy, and I will be back after these messages. You're on Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540 or rodandreelradio.com.
You can count on El Cajon Ford, as so many Southern Californians have for years. El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like the all-new Fusion and Escape, Edge, Explorers, and more. And now, Fiestas with 38 mpg and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock, 150s, 250s, 350s, at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks too, including the all-new Transit Connect, finally a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main in El Cajon, or online anytime, anywhere at elcajonford.com.
H&M Landing is the most diversified sport fishing company on the West Coast. Serving the angling community since 1935, H&M Landing's name recognition and reputation for customer service is the best in the business. The H&M fleet provides the widest range of trip options and boasts the coast's largest open party fleet. For ocean fishing any time of the year, H&M Landing should be your choice for nearshore and offshore fishing. H&M is San Diego's most experienced sport fishing company, offering the best in half-day, three-quarter-day, full, and multi-day trips, and a complete schedule of long-range adventures. Call today, H&M Landing, 619-222-1144, or visit their website at www.hmlanding.com for updated schedules and secure online booking. H&M Landing, the experienced angler's first choice in local and multi-day fishing since 1935. That's H&M Landing at 619-222-1144 or hmlanding.com.
When you're out fishing this year, there's two ways to be a hero. You can help save lives by making sure everyone on your boat wears a life jacket. And with the drought conditions, you can help save water. Because every drop we save is another drop out there for us and our fish. So be a hero, on the water and off. There's lots of ways to conserve, and there are lots of life jackets designed especially for anglers. To learn more about being a hero, take your hero quiz at BoatCalifornia.com. A message from the California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of CedrosOutdoorAdventures.com.
And Southern California, welcome to the second hour of Rod and Reel Radio. You know, we are right at the beginning of the long-range season. As a matter of fact, a number of the long-range boats have already made a couple of trips from the grounds, and by all intents and purposes, it looks like it's going to be a banner season. So Stan got together with me and he said, hey, let's talk a little bit about long-range fishing, the boats to go on, maybe the equipment to use. So, Stan, you've invited a couple of guests to be with us tonight. Why don't you make the introduction of your first guest?
My pleasure. I've got 10 days from now, I'm counting the days down, where I climb on a new ride for me. It actually was my first choice a while back, the boat, the Independence, and two of the owners, Mark Paisano and Mr. Paul Strasser, Captain Paul Strasser. I called him and said, would you like to come on and talk a little bit about the boat and about the season that's upcoming here, because it's really turning into a good one. So it's my pleasure to introduce Captain Paul Strasser. Paul, thanks for being a part of the show.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Very much appreciated.
Well, tell us.
Hey, Paul, it's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit first. Let's go back, and this boat is not it's not an old boat. It's one of the newer ones in the fleet, and I remember when I was running the charters for the Qualifier 105, and that was the fishing boat platform, the best platform in the fleet, which you built the boat that has taken that over by storm, as far as I'm concerned. Tell us a little bit about the boat.
Well, Stan, we are on our 10th year anniversary. For me, it's 12 years, because it took me 2.5 years to build the boat. But we are in our 10th year now, and it's still one of the newest boats. The boat is basically, when I built it, it's 112 feet long and 34 feet wide.
Wow.
And it's one heck of a platform. She's built out of steel with the aluminum superstructure, so she's low to the water, very wide for stability. You don't get thrown around on the boat. The boat rides very nice. I built the galley large enough to seat all 32 passengers at one time for dinner. I built the boat large enough for all the staterooms downstairs. We have six three-passenger staterooms and three two-passenger staterooms downstairs. And upstairs, I have four two-passenger staterooms with seven showers. We hold over 700 scoops of anchovies. Scoops of any kind of bait, whether it be anchovies or sardines. And we hold over 35 ton of dead fish. And the boat is very, very comfortable. As Wendy, she's been on the boat a few times. And Stan, you'll know by the time you get off the boat here in 25 days from now, you're going to see the same thing. It's a really beautiful boat that we built, and she's performing really nice.
Well, this is
Stan, you won't even believe it when you finally get on the Independence. I swear, you can throw a pool party inside the big tanks. I mean, it's so huge. And where you put all your gear and everything, there's so much room. The staterooms are wonderful. And like you said, the seven showers, it's amazing. Oh, and not to mention Frenchie and Ed, the food is awesome.
Yeah. You know what along with that, what I really enjoy with the boat, before I built this one, I had the Islander. And on a 5-day or 6-day trip, I used to get off a trip, and my body was beat up. It was actually tired after being rolled around and jolted around. On this particular boat, I can get off this boat after being on it for 10 days, and I can go to my other job up north here, and not even my body is not tired. It just really when you don't get thrown around, you it's really nice and comfortable when the trip's over. You're not beat up like you are on the smaller boats.
Well, you've got this big wide boat and a bulb on the nose, so the bow doesn't do all the rise and drop like some of the boats will do out there and bouncy around. So it's got all the earmarks of I've been fishing out of a Ranger boat since 1982 as sponsored boat, and Ranger was always the boat that everybody else compared to because it was the most stable ride and solid boat out there. And the Indy is the kind of the Ranger of the fleet. It is a big, wide, stable fishing platform.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. The funny part about it is, if you design a boat on paper with an architect, he wouldn't design it like we designed this one, because this particular boat is more. It's like 32% width over length, and most architects like to go 25%. They like to go 25 feet wide, 100 feet long. But we went 34 by 112, which is over on the board. But for sport fishing and with that nose on the front, we don't lose any speed. You want a boat to fish offshore. You want a boat that's able to drift really well offshore. And when we long-range fish, we're in all different types of elements. We're in winds from 15 to 35 knots. We're in seas from 2 feet up to 25 feet. We don't know what we're up against, but we have to be able to have a piece of equipment that can handle all the conditions at any given time.
And that's what I like about this particular boat. You were talking about the drift of the boat, and that's a really important part of a boat when you design a boat, how it drifts when you stop the boat and with the wind.
Well, yes, that's a really difficult one to pinpoint if you're going to go bow first or stern first or exactly sideways. This particular boat is just about sideways. It's not. I'd like to have a boat that goes stern first. My other boat did, but that's a really hard one to pick. But what we did do, we made it so you don't get thrown around as much, and that's one thing we had control of.
Wow.
Hey, that's good enough.
We're speaking with Captain Paul Strausser from Independent Sports Fishing, if you just joined in. And Paul, at the beginning of the interview, I made mention that this season has the earmarks of being a really good season. What do you hear? What's the GQ from the fishing grounds? How's the fishing going to be that you think?
This radio show is perfect timing. Our boat is coming in tomorrow morning at 5:30. We got a 320-pound tuna.
Wow.
We probably have, I think, 5 or 6 over 200, and we got a dozen or so fish at 130 to 180 pounders. The trip they're on right now is the first trip of the season that these big fish were found and caught. So it looks unbelievable. I just got off the boat the trip before, and we had really good wahoo fishing. We had 40 something wahoo. We had 500 tuna. We had dorado. We had all that good mix of fish. But the trip that Jeff left on last week, he had the group that loves that bigger grade of tuna, and he went all the way down to the area that we catch these big tuna early in the year, and it paid off. And he was the first boat that got into them. And so tomorrow morning, right around this time, 12 hours from now, we'll be weighing up the jackpots, and we'll see exactly how big these bigger fish are. But they're eating the kite baits, they're eating the giant squid, they're eating the fly line sardines, and they have the really beautiful weather. So to me, it looks incredible because we had a big influx of hot water this year. As we all know, we had the hot water move all the way up the coast. And for me to see these larger tuna show up, even with that hot water, it's really impressive, and I think we're going to have one heck of a big fish tuna season.
Well, we were talking to Gary Graham just a little earlier. I've got a buddy of mine that'll be on the boat ride with me that he's going down to fish the tuna challenge. And his captain down there had said the week before, said, you know, don't bring the heavy gear, just bring your light stuff because the bigger tuna aren't here. And then this last week, he said, all right, cancel that, just bring big stuff. He goes, they came in numbers. And they've had several over 3 down in Cabo area. And a lot of that bigger fish is starting to move up. And obviously, Jeff found them here down below. And that just bones for a really good season coming in and going forward into the new year even.
Yeah. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed that it continues. I've seen it get good early and then it peters out. But I have a feeling that hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed and it just continues. You know, in your trip, that 13-day trip,
ooh,
I think we have one spot open. That leaves it open for the area that Jeff fished, or if that area slows down, we could just bomb it down to other areas. You know,
right. That's true.
Hey, Captain, when this has been an unusually active area for the Eastern Pacific with the number of storms that have come through, there's another one that's down there right now, Vance, that might affect the Los Cabos Tuna Challenge, but do you think it's going to affect the long-range fishing as a whole when that area quiets down? Is it pushing fish up? Is it spreading them out? What's your read on what's happening down there?
Well, this year we had, I think, over 13 tropical storms slash hurricanes, which is the most I could ever recall it, you know, one season. Every year, I mean, every one of my 7-day trips, I had to sit there and really watch it closely. Two of my 7-day trips, we had to even fish in U.S. waters just to stay away from the area. What's going to happen now? I have not been following the local hurricane that you're mentioning, so I'm going to take a look at it. What is it going to do? Well, we'll find out. A lot of these tuna now, they are bottom feeders. They do live farther down than we think they do. We always think tuna are up on the surface all the time. These tuna live down there 200, 300, 400, 500 feet down. And they venture through the canyons, and they eat box fish and squid and a lot of bottom fish. They get a lot of weird stuff that we're not accustomed to seeing. And it all depends on what the water temperature does down deep. And if it doesn't affect the water temperature deep, these fish might just pop right back up to the surface after the depression or hurricane passes through. So it's really hard to say what's gonna happen. But it's not going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us during the hurricane itself or during the windstorm that has developed. But after that clears through, the fish should pop right back up. Like I said, a lot of these tuna are down deep throughout the season, and then they pop up when we start throwing sardines and these other fish on them.
Wow. Hey, we're going to have Eric Mulhart on later on talking about how to gear up for the trip. But, Paul, what's your recommendation? And tell us about the capability of the Independents to hold gear for the fishermen for a variety of fishing applications.
Well, look, it's really hard to talk about a big subject in a short amount of time, but I'll make it real simple. Make sure you have a good 100-pound outfit and a 130-pound outfit. If you got one or two of those go-to outfits, 100-pound is going to be your go-to outfit. That's the one you want to use most of the time, whether it be a 30-wide two-speed or a 50 two-speed with 100-pound test, 100-pound fluorocarbon. That's very important with Spectra. Obviously, 135 Spectra, 130-pound Spectra. You're going to have that rod. It's going to be your go-to rod. If you're on the anchor or if the fish are smaller, 80 to 140 pounds, 150 pounds, have a good 80-pound outfit, good two-speed 80-pound, whether it be an Accurate reel or that HX wide two-speed reel, Abbott, or the Shimano, I don't know the Shimano, but have a good 80-pound outfit for that smaller grade of fish so you can cast that bait a little bit farther out. But make sure you have that 100-pound rod, and then the 130-pound outfit, that's a good rod to have also for when you're fishing with a chunk bait. Or if you're fishing the slide, a lot of times we find these fish on porpoise, these black porpoise. We don't even bother trolling with these big tuna. But what we do, we find these black porpoise, we get up on the school, we see the school, we start heaving the sardines. That's when you dump your 130-pound outfit out there with the fly line sardine, and that's when you usually get bit right on that slide. And that's when they'll eat that 130-pound with the fluorocarbon. Make sure you get fluorocarbon. You want your hooks to be those big super mutus. Ringed hooks, circle hooks for these big fish. Don't go with the J's, go with the big circles. The 4-0, 4-0, and 5-0 size, get three different sizes, depends upon the bait. Your fluorocarbon, 80, 100, and 130 pounds, that's for your big tuna. That's, that's a real quick wrap up on that. But make sure you have a 30 wide, or 50, all two speed outfits.
Hey, we're speaking with Captain Paul Strausser from Independent Sports Fishing. Captain Paul, we got to take a break right now. Can you stay with us just a little bit longer and field a few more questions from us?
No problem. I'll be standing by.
All right. Hey, Stan Vandenberg's with us tonight. Wendy Toshahar is here, too, from the Bass Pro Shop. I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. You're listening to us on AM 540 or RodAndReelRadio.com. We'll be back right after these messages with more Rod and Reel Radio.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
H&M Lining is the most diversified sport fishing company on the West Coast. Serving the angling community since 1935, H&M Lining's name recognition and reputation for customer service is the best in the business. The H&M fleet provides the widest range of trip options and boasts the coast's largest open party fleet. For ocean fishing any time of the year, H&M Lining should be your choice for nearshore and offshore fishing. H&M is San Diego's most experienced sport fishing company, offering the best in half-day, three-quarter-day, full, and multi-day trips, and a complete schedule of long-range adventures. Call today H&M 90 619-222-1144 or visit their website at www.hmlanding.com for updated schedules and secure online booking. H&M Landing, the experienced angler's first choice in local and multi-day fishing since 1935. That's H&M Landing at 619-222-1144 or hmlanding.com.
Are you involved with a family law problem like divorce, custody, or support? If so, it just might be time to call Bill Hochstead. You might know Bill as an avid angler and tournament fisherman, but more importantly to you, Bill is a family law attorney with 27 years of legal experience. His law firm is equipped to handle all your family law needs. Bill is certified by the State Bar of California as a specialist in family law. He understands your needs and can provide his clients with the highest degree of quality legal representation and competency while watching your budget. Remember, the more you have to risk, the more you need Bill. He practices in all the courts in San Diego County. So if you are in need of legal help with a family law matter, give Bill a call. Now here comes his number, 858-538-3500. That's Bill Hochstadt, 858-538-3500.
Captain Chris Randall from Chief Sports Fishing. And Captain Chris, tell us about what's happening on the Chief now that the tuna season is upon us.
It's here and it's time to go on the Chief. For those of you who are not familiar with the vessel, she's an 85 by 24 deluxe sport fisher that offers a wide variety of open party trips ranging from 1 to 5 days in length. We're also available for private group charters. The Chief's onboard amenities include a fully remodeled galley with comfortable seating for 25, twin flat screen TVs with hundreds of movies, 2 roomy indoor heads with fresh hot water showers, stateroom and open berthing areas, an impressively large deck area, 200 scoop bait capacity. We have twin 6-ton spray brine fish holds to keep your catch fresh, and our professional courteous crew will go the extra mile to make your trip a memorable one. To view our schedule, log on to H&M Landing at www.hmlanding.com or feel free to give them a call at 619-222-1144. You can also follow us on Facebook and at our webpage at chiefsportfishing.com.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy Line, Spro Products, Gamakatsu Hooks, G. Loomis Fishing Rods, Shimano Products, Ovid Reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
Hi, my name is Dennis Green, and I always love to talk about fishing. When I want the real information, I go to Rod and Reel Radio. Those guys are who I thought they were.
Stan, Whitney, and I, we still want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. We have Captain Paul Strausser from Independent Sports Fishing with us. And Paul, I've got to compliment you on the Independent Sports Fishing website. Going to it, you know, we can, on the show here, just scratch the surface when it comes to the amenities that you can find on the boat and the reports and pictures and everything else like that. Your site is probably one of the most informative sites about any sports fisher that I've seen on the Internet.
Well, I mean, that's in the Internet is everything, it seems like. As much as we don't like to go that direction, it is what it is, and you got to make it good, because that's where all the advertising seems to be now. And I mean, on that site, you can see how many passengers, if we're sold out on a trip. You can see my schedule for 2015. We got videos of the boat on that site. We have tackle recommendations. We have a it's a really nice website we put together. We're hooked up to Facebook. You can link straight to Facebook. Independent Sport Fishing right from that site. You just click on the Facebook page below the boat. You can see all the pictures that we download. We do have Wi-Fi on the boat, so we take pictures, and I send them immediately right to my Facebook site from the boat minutes after the fish are being caught, and it's pretty impressive.
Right. If you are a fishing fan, too, you want to make sure that on Facebook you go to Independent Sports Fishing and friend them, and you will get some great photos. I mean, the past photos of your current trip for the past couple of days are pretty incredible. You've had some nice fish come aboard on this trip.
Oh, yeah, it was a good trip. Jeff ran a really good trip, and he's looking forward to turning and burning tomorrow. So we're going to be down there early in the morning and get everything locked and loaded for another good one, I hope.
How long does it take to get down to, you know, the lower banks there?
Basically 2.5 days.
See, that's
two and a half days. You're 500. You're 500, and to the lower banks, you're around anywhere from 520 to 560 miles. So you just if that's where you're going to go, you just turn and burn straight down the line, 2.5 days, basically.
You know, Paul, there's a lot of fishermen out there that goes, man, being on a boat for 13 days, I get worn out on a day and a half, a due day trip, and yeah, I got the gear, but I'm not sure how to use it, and I'm going to be a babe in the woods here. What do you say to those newbies that decide that they want to take that step and come with you?
You're going to be amazed by how we pace yourself on these trips. Wendy could testify to this. The food, you have your breakfast, your soup, your lunch, your appetizers, your dinner. So on your travel days, it's geared up around your food, your seminars, your camaraderie with everybody, maybe a card game, movies. Time goes by nice and fast on these longer trips. I mean, usually a guy will go a day and a half, a two-day trip, and then he'll jump on one of our five-day trips. After the five-day trip, he goes, man, I'm just getting warmed up. Well, let's go on a 7 or 8 day. Next, you know, I'll see a guy on a 7-day trip, and now we book him for a 10-day trip. And then I have 3 or 4 guys that are going on a 16-day trip in the beginning of the year because they want to get on the boat. The boat doesn't wear you out. I mean, you're not holding on for your life when the boat's rocking and rolling. It's not like that on the boat, and it doesn't wear you out. So it's whether or not you have the time off, and if you could afford to do it, you have the time off. And the gear is, I mean, we supply the gear if you don't have everything. You have some stuff, but if you need a big reel or another couple rods, we have it on the boat. So it just about, and, you know, you'll see as time goes on. How would I say this? Like most people, they graduate more and more days as the years get going. They get accustomed. They get used to it.
That's exactly.
You know, one
correct.
Thing that's great about that boat, it's a cruise ship that fishes. It's such a comfortable ride, and like Paul says, you know, you're out there and you're fishing for multiple days. You know, you don't feel like you're in a rush to hurry up and catch fish. You can take your time because you have plenty of days, and you don't beat yourself up.
You know, the nice thing about these, it's like target fishing. You get on the boat, usually the first day, especially on these long ones, you just kind of get in there, you meet everybody, and they kind of hang out. There's nothing that's too critical for that first day. Relax, put your gear away, meet the people you're going to fish with. Then after that, you know, they'll give the seminars. You can start kind of gearing up what you want to do and kind of get your gear ready a little bit. But it's, you know, exactly what you're going to do the next day. And then they'll tell you, you know what, we're going to stop here. We're going to fish for this. So you're going to gear up for whatever that style of fishing is. And then you'll finish with that. And then they may say, you know, we'll either stay an overnight here or we're going to go on and we're going to target something else and gear up for that. So you never have to really... You're not stressing about, you know, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen here. You're going from spot to spot to spot as you go down, and then when you get to your area that we're going to be going down on this 13-day for that bigger tuna, because everybody wants to catch the big fish, and you can kind of figure out, are we going to stop on the way down, or are we just going to, you know, barrel on down and spend the 2 days driving down there, get ready, and then go catch the big ones, and maybe even go down to Clarion, or if we had to the Hurricane Bank. We have options on the longer range, and I think that's the most fun about being on a boat like this, where you can take the time, and you're paying basically for the entertainment of going out and enjoying a fishing trip to maybe catch a fish of a lifetime and be treated better than you would at the best hotel. It's a great, great experience and tons of fun. I've got lots of guys I've taken from, like Paul was saying, I got the guys that I started on the one-day trips that are now going on the 13, 14-day trips with me. So it's just nothing but great.
Yeah, and Paul, I'm sure you've got a veteran crew that if you've got fishermen that are coming aboard that are making the transition from the day and a half to 2 day trips into these longer range trips, they've got questions about how to make connections, what hooks to use, how to tie knots, how to fish chunk, how to fish balloons. I mean, I'm sure they the fishermen out here, these are, you know, really stupid questions, but there are no stupid questions
right.
when it comes to a trip like that. Your crew's ready to handle them.
You know, and another thing, too, we do seminars on the way down. We'll do just an overall basic tackle seminar the first day. Let's say we're going down to, let's say on Stan's trip, we'll do a tackle seminar the first day, and let's say we're going to throw some wahoo in the mix. So the next day, we're still traveling. We'll do another seminar the next day about wahoo fishing only, and then let's say on the third day traveling, we'll do another seminar on big tuna. You know, the things, all the little key elements you need to know about fishing the big tuna, because fishing big tuna, there are do's and don'ts. And connections, number one, I like to go through everybody's tackle individually, find out what his go-to rod is, the one he's going to throw in the water, the 100-pound outfit. I like to check his knots. I call it my warranty department. I'll bring that rod upstairs. I'll put the hook on one of my hook holders, and I'll pull as hard as I can pull with all my weight to see if I could break that line. If I can't break it, he's ready to go. And if I've had times where guys had their line spliced at a tackle store. They had their Seaguar knot supposedly tied, but they didn't tie a Seaguar. It was a different kind of knot. And I broke it. And I told the guy, see, I'd rather break it now than break it when we get hooked up. And I like to go through to make sure everybody is set because, I mean, you hook one fish, that might be the only one you hook. And it's very important that we keep our average really, really well in that department. You can't pulling a hook and breaking a hook are two things that you can't really prevent. But line breaking and not breaking, we can prevent that with the new technology in our knots.
All right, Captain Paul Strausser from Independent Sports Fishing. Paul, if people want to get a hold of you, ask more questions, find out what the schedule is for the boat, or to just view the amenities that Independent Sports Fishing has to offer, how's the best way to go about doing it?
Well, the best way is the one you have in front of you there, IndependentSportFishing.com. You jump on our website, and you can go to everything. You can go to my schedule. You could look at the previous trips. You can go to previous trips from 2004 if you wanted to go back that far to see the tuna we caught back then. But you can get a lot of information off IndependentSportFishing.com. And then Judy, she's in our office at area code 619-226-6006. And you can get a hold of her on booking. And you could also book online, for that matter. We do have booking online through the website.
All right, Captain Paul Strausser, thanks for being with us. Good luck on your upcoming trip. And also, when you got Stan and his group aboard, I think you'll have no trouble selling that one space, because looking at your schedule, you guys are booked for a long way into the future right now. So it looks like it's going to be a great season. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us, sir.
Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. And for all the listeners, look at our schedule. We still have a lot of openings for 2015. Jump on a short trip. Jump on a 6, 7, or 8-day trip and enjoy yourself. And then you can graduate to the longer trips as time goes on.
All right, you guys,
and I'll talk to you later then.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul Strausser from Independent Sports Fishing. Now, Stan, we're talking a little bit about long-range fishing. You invited another guest to come aboard with us, especially when it comes time to gear up fishing rods in particular for a trip like this. Why don't you introduce your next guest, please?
Can do. I've been fishing I'm honored to be a part of the pro staff for this particular fishing rod company, and they were just purchased and new people took them over here in the last year, and we've got on board here the president of Seeker Rods, Mr. Eric Mulhart. Eric, thanks for taking a little time off tonight and being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know,
hey, long time no see, Eric.
Yeah, Wendy. How was the traffic?
It wasn't bad. I'm glad you made it home.
Both of you guys were down at Bass Pro Shops today.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, Eric, this has been a banner season. I mean, especially you own a fishing rod company, the way that the way the season has gone on. But we want to talk a little bit about the rods that guys should be considering for long range and the different options that they have. And, you know, I know Seeker has been around for a long time. They've been a leading innovator in not only rods and technology. And Stan, let me start it on off. When I look at the Seeker series, I see the Black Steel, I see the Super Seeker and everything like that. So let's talk about, first of all, the different materials and why to choose one over another.
Okay. The Black Steel line was basically with Seeker's original composite series of rods that was using e-glass with carbon fiber to create a rod that had a little lighter and stiffer right at the shutoff point where you need it, but still had a soft enough tip for throwing baits and stuff like that. And then they came out with a copy of the same rods, but instead of using e-glass, they use S-glass, which is a much stronger fiberglass. And so that helped with the strength on some of these rods with the recoil. And especially comes into play with the bigger rods, like the 60-pound and up rods seem to, you notice the difference the most in those rods.
All right. Hey, Paul, we still have a lot more Rod Reel Radio to come, but we got to take a break right now. I'm hoping that you can stay with us for the next segment and tell us more about the fishing rods you're going to need for long-range fishing this year from Seeker Fishing Rods.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, and Paul Strasser from Seeker Fishing. We'll be back after these commercial messages. Stay tuned.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel, specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong, but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hey, bass fishermen, who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262, or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
I am a heroic angler. I can bait a hook with my eyes closed, cast to a spot the size of a dime, and reel in the biggest monsters of the depths. And not only do I make sure everyone on my boat wears a life jacket, I make sure we're saving water. Because every drop we save means more water for our fish. And there's nothing I wouldn't do for a fish, except kiss one. Well, there was that one time, but I don't kiss and tell.
Take your hero quiz at BoatCalifornia.com. A message from the California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Seeker Fishing Rods has introduced a new line of rods. These Super Seekers combine a classic look with the very latest technology and materials. The blanks are brown with a tangerine finish and a double coat of epoxy finish. Proudly made in the U.S., these rods are made from the latest state-of-the-art materials like 120 carbon fiber and S-glass combined with the all-new EH4 epoxy resin system. The carbon fiber base transitions into an S-glass tip, which makes them the most powerful and fastest recoiling rods ever. These rods were built to match today's powerful two-speed reels, such as Ovid and Accurate, that require an extra strong rod with the fastest recoil. When rods break, they usually break on the bottom side of the rod, because when a rod bends, the top can stretch more than the bottom can compress. Using an S-glass tip and an EH4 resin system means these rods have three times the compression strength of E-glass, and they have a faster recoil. The Super Seeker series boasts of models from the lightest bait rod to the heaviest stand-up rod, and now they have the brand new 10-foot Ulua rod. See the line of Super Seekers at SeekerRods.com and try one now at your favorite tackle store.
Hey, we want to welcome you back to Rod Reel Radio. We have Eric Mulhart from Seeker Fishing Rods. And, Stan, I got a bunch of questions to ask Eric. It kind of being as not quite as familiar with long-range fishing as you are, but I know you and Wendy do too. So why don't you start off the questioning with Eric?
Well, you know, we've had like the Black Steel rod, which probably dollar for dollar is the best rod in the market. Then the Super Seekers came out with, you want more recoil and pull hard when the fish dives down, and this rod has better recoil to pull back up. But I think they've gotten into some newer stuff, because that was one of the big questions that everybody had when Seeker was purchased here. What are they going to do? How are they going to, you know, are they just going to keep the things going like it was? But, you know, Eric and Chris have done a great job of looking forward and saying, no, we're not standing still. We're moving forward. But, you know, I get the chance to go because they're about 20 minutes from my home now. I can go up there and actually see what they've done. But, Eric, you've done a pretty good job of moving forward. Why don't you talk about what you're doing and where you're going from here?
Well, basically what we're doing is right now we're having all of our equipment updated. We're getting newer state-of-the-art machines to help build a better part and more repeatable process so that we don't have seconds in our blanks and as much as that we do now. So the equipment is coming online here in the next couple months. In the meantime, we're building rods the exact same way that we've been building them. Our Seeker's been building them for, you know, since day one. And so the parts are coming out the same. What we're doing to make advances in the product line right now is to mostly to add. We're not going to take away any of our products. We're not going to discontinue anything. We're going to just keep adding to the product line. We had four new rail rods that just came out, the Offshore Pros, the OSPs, and we have that available in a 1x3, 2x4, a 3X, and a 4X. And probably by this time next year, we'll have maybe even a couple more of those OSPs added to the line.
So what is the difference between the OSP and the Super Seeker?
Well, the OSP is basically the same build as a Super Seeker. It uses the same carbon fiber, the same S-glass, and the same resin system. And what it is, so you have a Super Seeker 1x3, which is a 7-foot-long rod. It has a Hypalon foregrip, Hypalon rear grip, and it has a gimbal. Whereas the OSP 1x3, it's the same construction, but it's 3 inches longer, and it has a 18-inch long cold shrink foregrip for fishing on the rail, and it has a 1-inch longer rear without the gimbal, so that you can fish it in your armpit comfortably while you're on the rail.
You know,
and you changed your guide systems on that too, didn't you?
Yeah, and the guides on that are a Fuji guide, stainless steel frame. It's a little more rigid, a little more durable frame. You can drop the rod, you can beat it up a little bit more.
All right, and Paul, I notice also that you have what's called a rail boss rod, and boy, you've got a lot of seasoned citizens that come out and fish with you. And when you see a lot of these guys standing by 300-pound fish, I know I scratch my head and I go, how did they ever bring that aboard? And I've got a feeling that the rail boss is probably part of that. Explain to us what that rod's all about.
The rail boss is a kind of like an entry level, if there is one, rail rod. It's an all e-glass rod. It has a similar, you know, build to the older rods, back before carbon fiber was introduced into the combination with the fiberglass. And so it has, it's pretty beefy. It's 6'6". It's a little bit shorter than the standard, rail rods are nowadays. I think, we're seeing rail rods all the way up to, I think, 7'6" and 7'9" now by some of the other companies. Yeah. But this one's 6'6", a little bit easier for you to battle the fish on that shorter stick, and it has aluminum gimbal so that you can fish it from the harness if you need to as well.
Well, and You know, one of the things I'm always looking at is I'm looking at the selection of rods when I go on my local dealer or when I go on your site, and I notice that in the same weight classification, let's say 60 to 100, you can have a 5-foot rod, you can have a 6-foot rod, you can have a 6'6 rod, you can have a 7-foot rod, and then if you're really going crazy, you can have like the Alua rod that's almost 10 feet. What does length have to do with regards to how you fish these rods?
Well, it's all basically what your intended purpose is for fishing. If you're going to be throwing like, a light iron, you know, really far, you're going to want a longer rod. If you're just going to be yo-yoing and just dropping an iron straight down, you can use a shorter rod. The shortest, in my opinion, you want to use the shortest rod that you're comfortable fishing just so that you have a little more leverage against the fish. So the longer rods definitely are fun to fish, but if you hook into something big, you're going to feel it, that's for sure.
You know, I was at the shop the other day, and you had an Alua that you put in my hand that was extremely light, and that's something that hasn't been. Most of the Alua rods had a little weight to them, and they were pretty chunky, but this one was a little different.
Yeah, we actually have, I think right now we have 4 different Aluas. We have the baby Alua, we have an all-glass Alua, we have the 93H, and then we have the composite Alua, which is a carbon fiber and S-glass Alua that's 10 foot long. Most guys will cut them down a little bit to whatever length that they're going to be fishing, because we sell a lot more Alua blanks than we do finished rods. So people will modify them to fit their fishing style.
Yeah, I did cut mine a little bit to adjust it to what I wanted in a rod, but you know, you've done a good job of coming up with some new products here in a pretty quick hurry that are going to be great for the guy that, like the one that I picked up, that was a perfect rod for throwing surface iron because it had a light tip. And it was a lot lighter rod, because if you're throwing something that's a lightweight bait, you know, you need that.
Yeah, we actually have a couple of other blanks that are very similar to the Alua. They're just a little bit lighter, smaller diameter at the butt. They're just under an inch diameter at the butt, whereas the Alua is like 1 3/8 of an inch diameter at the butt. So the difference in that stick is very noticeable in weight and in the feel of the rod when you're holding it. But they're a little bit lighter line rating than what most of the Aluas are. You'll find those two in the Blue Lightning line of rods, a 9-foot rod and a 10-foot rod, which are really, really nice for throwing the iron. Super lightweight and fun to pull on.
We're speaking with Eric Mulhart. Eric, I've got to apologize. I've called you Paul a couple of times. He's the owner of Seeker Fishing Rods. Eric, I've been a dealer of Seeker for a fairly large number of years. I have never brought in a Seeker on a warranty problem or anything else like that. And, you know, I know that happens from time to time. Tell us a little bit about the warranty on Seeker products.
Yeah, the warranties, when we bought the business, my partner and I, we obviously wanted to maintain the warranty that Seeker had in place, that's had in place for a very long time, which is a limited lifetime warranty on materials and on workmanship defects. So if you get a bad rod, if something crazy happens, if we pull on all the rods several times while they're at the factory before they move on from one stage to the next stage. So we try to weed out anything that's not good as far as a blank. But we do get situations where, well, somebody will have a fish go underneath the boat or pop out of a downrigger, and then the tip of the rod hits a T-top or something, and it'll break the rod. So we have a warranty that will cover the replacement of that rod for the defects. If it's due to misuse or, you know, your dog chewing the handle off, then we have a replacement warranty where it's I believe at this time it's 50% off the MSRP, and we'll have the rod replaced for you with a brand new rod.
Perfect.
Hey, and you know, the question we're always asked, and you happen to bring it up, that you supply a lot of blanks out there because there's a lot of fishermen out there that like to have the, you know, them customized in their special colors, or maybe fool around with the guide system a little bit, or put on different reel seats, whatever it might be. What happens to the warranty when they buy a Seeker blank and they have it custom wrapped by somebody?
Yeah, that's a tough one because you can't. It's hard to recoup the labor of building that rod, and also if it's a, you know, a special rod that you had built, it's kind of difficult to you know, even if we do give you a new replacement, it's tough to you know, swallow that. So, see, our replacement warranty on the blanks is the exact same thing as is on the finished rods. However, we only can replace the blank at that time if it's a defective blank.
Well, you know, luckily we haven't had it happen to us a lot, and I know with the dealers that you have out there, I don't see that happening a lot. But I know the fishermen, you know, it just gives them an extra amount of security to know what's happening. You know, we've had a tremendous season. How have you been keeping up with the supply of rods this season?
We haven't been keeping. Nobody's been keeping up with the supply of rods this year. It's, yeah, all the way from the glue that we use for the rods, all the way to, you know, the guides. Luckily, we had, when I bought the business, we had a lot of material in stock, and then there was a bunch of material that was already on order. So we have enough fiberglass and carbon fiber to last us probably, you know, 2 years. So building blanks is not a problem. Finishing the rods, we'll have issues in the supply chain with guides and sometimes. And then also right now what the biggest problem is Hypalon. The Hypalon grips are very difficult to come by. So there's been a shortage in the industry with everybody.
Right.
And so we hired two more people in the rod finishing department this summer. And we still can't keep up with the demand. This year has been, you know, probably the best fishing year that I could ever remember. And with the economy kind of swinging around the past year or two, and then this good fishing, we cannot build the rods fast enough. As soon as they don't even get to go into stock, we just get them, put them in our, you know, the warranty tag and bag them, and they're gone off to the dealers.
Right. It's a horrible problem to have, but it was such a great season. Hey, Eric, you guys used to make freshwater rods. Are you guys still making the freshwater rods? And you also have an Athena line, too.
Yeah, we have freshwater rods all the way from like a 2-pound trout, 2-piece trout rod, and then we have probably, I think, 7 or 9 different trout rods, I believe. And then we also have some really nice all glass, and we have some composite bass rods.
Right. Hey, we've been talking with Eric Mulhart from Seeker Fishing Rods. Eric, just scratched the surface, but if our listeners want to see more of what's available from Seeker, we know that, you know, a dealer can't carry every rod that Seeker has, but they just get a hold of their dealer, let them know what rod they have, and you either ship it on out or make it on up for them. How's the best way to find out more about the selection of rods that's available from Seeker Fishing Rods?
You could go to our website, seekerrods.com, and click on the catalog. You can view the catalog in a PDF viewer, or you can talk to your dealer.
All right. Eric Mulhart from Seeker Fishing Rods. Eric, thanks a lot for taking some of your Sunday night to speak with us. Just learned a lot about the rods we're going to be needing for our long-range fishing. We hope to talk with you several times again during the season when we start getting into rock cod fishing, and who knows, we still might be talking about this tuna bite all the way into next year.
Yeah, I hope so. I sure hope so. Thank you very much for having me on, guys.
All right, thank you. And Stan, we want to thank you, too, for inviting both Eric and Paul with us to be with us tonight. Hey, guys, that's it for tonight.
Well, you know, another week comes to an end, but I'll tell you what, it's just the beginning for the long-range season. There's going to be some great stories coming off these boats here in the upcoming weeks.
Right, and Wendy, you know, 2 days at Bass Pro Shop, you had 10 days of hunting. We didn't even get a chance to talk and how successful your hunt was, but hey, let's see if maybe we can get more information on that next week.
Oh, sounds good.
All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this Sunday night. We want to thank JR at our AM 540 Radio Zion Studios. Also, we want to thank Ben Harvey. He's our local producer for helping us get this all together. Always want to thank Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshiharo for being with us, and all of the great sponsors that support Ron Real Radio. This is Hop Along John from Angler's Arsenal. We'll be with you next week on AM 540. If you missed any of the shows, they'll be archived at rodandreelradio.com. So on behalf of everyone, you have a safe weekend. Get out there and get them. As Kevin Mineo used to say, they're getting away. Good night, everyone. We'll see you on the water. We're out.